Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Solarium Green Energy Limited H2 and FY26 earnings conference call hosted by CIL Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. And now I hand the conference over to Mr. Abhishek Mehra from TIL Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Mehra.
Thank you, Neeraj. Good afternoon and welcome, everyone. Thanks for joining this H2 and FY26 earnings conference call of Solarium Green Energy Limited. The investor updates have already been uploaded to the stock exchange and on the company website. In case you do not have a copy of the same, please feel free to write to us. To take us through the discussion, we have with us from the management team, Mr. Ankit Garg, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Pankaj Kothi, Full-Time Director, Mr. Rohit Jindal, Chief Financial Officer, and Pankaj Thakkar, Company Secretary and Compliance Officer. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of the business performance, which will then be followed by the Q&A session. I would like to remind you all that everything said in this call reflecting any outlook for the future, which can be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with the risk and uncertainty that the company faces. These risks and uncertainties have been mentioned in our annual report. With that said, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Ankit Garg for his opening comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you and good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Solarium Green Energy's earning call for the financial year ended March 26. We appreciate you joining us today, and I will use the next few minutes to walk you through the operating environment we navigated during the year, the key development across the businesses, and the strategic shifts we have deliberately undertaken to position the company in the next phase of growth. The macro backdrop for the solar in India continued to be broadly constructive through financial year 26. India's total renewable energy capacity crossed 279 gigawatts as of April 26, with solar alone at over 154 gigawatts. The country added a record capacity during the year, and solar remained the single largest contributor to the new renewable installations, accounting for nearly half of the cumulative renewable capacity. The government's intent to reach 500 gigawatt of non-fossil fuel capacity by 2030 has not wavered, and on-ground execution has picked up considerably. The PM Surya Ghar scheme continued to gather momentum, with approximately 4 million households electrified under the program by May 26, out of stated ambition of 10 million by 2027. That said, the regulatory environment did introduce some near-term considerations. The progression of ALMM-2 requirement has been a topic of active discussion across the industry, and I'll address our specific position on this later, a little later. Let me now speak to what we actually did during the year, because FY26 was a year of considerable operational actions for Solarium. Our most significant development was the commissioning of our 1.2 gigawatt fully automated module manufacturing facility in Ahmedabad. The facility is capable of producing 4,000 panels per day at up to 23.5 cell efficiency, and it can manufacture all type of modules, including large formats G12 panels, which can produce up to 725 watt peak per panel. We have installed AI-powered quality control and RFID traceability across the production process, which gives us a level of quality assurance we believe will stand us in a good stead as customer requirements evolve. Beyond the manufacturing build-out, we made meaningful progress on our distribution and residential business. We launched our solar kits for the residential market during the year and have been able to scale Sarthi partner network, which now spans over 450 partners across more than 25 cities. The second largest position among the 20,000 plus vendors under the PM Surya Ghar scheme is something we are proud of, and we are working to build on that standing. On the large EPC side, we secured 50 megawatt AC ground-mounted solar project in Maharashtra valued at over 185 crore. This was a significant win for us. I want to take this opportunity to touch upon a deliberate strategic choice we made during the year because it has bearing on how you should read our financial performance. We consciously added ground-mounted large EPC projects as another stream for the business. It was a calculated decision to reduce our exposure to the extended receivable cycles that are inherited in government distributed programs. The working capital dynamics of large EPC contracts, while carrying somewhat lower gross margins, give us better control over cash conversion and allow us to operate at meaningful larger scale. As we continue to ramp up the manufacturing facility, the captive consumption from the EPC projects become a key enabler of manufacturing utilization. We currently have approximately 65 megawatt of confirmed captive module consumption within our EPC order book and a forward pipeline of over 300 megawatt of projects under active discussion. This integration between manufacturing and EPC is what makes the business model increasingly self-reinforcing as we scale. On ALMM2, I would note that a significant portion of our current order book relates to module supplies for the projects that were bidded prior to 31st August 2025, wherein the use of non-domestically produced solar cell continues to be permissible. Simultaneously, we are at an advanced stage of securing domestically manufactured cell to support our residential EPC and solar kit segment. We do not see ALMM2 as an unmanageable constraint, and in fact our manufacturing scale position us reasonably well at the broader industry transition towards the greater domestic content. To summarize the operational picture, FY26 was a year in which we built the infrastructure, secured the talent, and made the strategic choices that lay foundation for more integrated, more scalable business. We exit the year with unexecuted order book of over 300 crore, a manufacturing facility now active, ramp up, and a residential distribution network that is starting to show meaningful traction. I am confident in the direction where we are headed. I will now hand over to our Chief Financial Officer, Rohit, who will take you to the financial performance for the year. Over to you, Rohit.
Thank you, Ankit. Good afternoon to everyone on the call. I will take you through the financial performance for FY26 and in particular help contextualize how the strategic shift Ankit described has translated in our numbers. Starting with the top line, total income for FY26 came in at 368 crore, reflecting growth of 60% over the 230 CR we reported in FY25. On a 3-year basis, our revenue CAGR stands at 55% since FY23. The growth has driven principally by the ramp-up in the large EPC project execution. You will note that the C&I and ground-mounted segment show a sharp increase in our revenue contribution during the year to 227 CR, up from 114 CR for the prior year. Residential rooftop revenue came at 80 CR, while the distribution segment contributed 61 CR. The reclassification where the solar kit revenue shifted into the distribution vertical is the primary reason for the apparent movement between the residential and distribution lines on a year-on-year basis. EBITDA for the year was 35.3 CR compared to 26.9 CR in FY25, representing growth of approximately 31%. The EBITDA margin came in around 9.6% on total income. On a 3-year CAGR basis, EBITDA has grown at 82% since FY23. Gross profit for the year was 111 CR at a gross margin of approximately 30% compared to 79 crore and 34.5 in FY25. As Ankit explained, the shift in business mix towards ground-mounted EPC projects, which typically carry lower margins than other segments, accounts for the moderation in gross margin percentages. In absolute terms, gross profit grew 40% year-on-year. Profit after tax for FY26 was 20.5 CR, marginal above the 18.6 CR, which we reported in FY25. PAT margin stood at approximately 5.6% of total income. The major growth in PAT despite 60% revenue growth required some explanation, and I want to address that directly. There are two specific items that affect the PAT trajectory this year, both of which are directly attributable to the business strategic investments which we made. First, Finance cost increased to 10.5 crore in FY26 compared to 3.5 crore in FY25. This increase reflects the borrowings taken on fund to commissioning of our module manufacturing facility, a capex of approximately 90 crore and 100 crore in working capital for our 1.2 gigawatt manufacturing plant. And the associate financial cost was naturally flowed through the income statement. This is only one-time setup in our cost-based tie-up to a specific capital investment, and we would expect the finance cost trajectory to stabilize as the manufacturing operation ramp up and generate returns. Secondly, the shift towards EPC business came with a corresponding build-up in working capital. Trade receivable on the balance sheet stood at 152.6 CR at the year-end, up from 90.9 CR regarding the prior year. Considering with the growth of EPC revenue and associate billing cycles. Inventories also grew up to 99.7 CR, reflecting both the manufacturing operation and project pipeline. Total assets on a consolidated basis expanded to 459 CR from 234 CR in FY25. Cash and bank balances at year end were 90.4 CR, which provide us with healthy liquidity position to support ongoing operation and the forward pipeline. I would also draw your attention to our second half performance as it offers a useful lens on the business trajectory. H2 FY26 revenue was 251 CR, up 70% from 188 CR in H2 FY25. EBITDA in the second half grew 27% year-on-year basis and PAT grew 2%. With both the gross margin compression and the high finance cost I described weighing on the second half PAT as well. Looking ahead, we are focused on improving gross margin recovery as our captive manufacturing integration deepens and we reduce external procurement dependency. We expect finance costs as a proportion to revenue to reduce progressively as the manufacturing asset generates returns. And we remain attentive to working capital discipline as we scale the EPC order book. I will stop here and we are both happy to take your questions. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking your question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. First question is from the line of Rishabh from Arth Capital Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for the opportunity. I wanted to ask, the 1.2 gigawatt manufacturing facility is now commissioned. What is the current utilization rate and when do you expect it to reach optimal utilization? Like, what does optimal look in terms of revenue? Also, will this capacity be used for internal consumption or there will be external sales as well? What would be the breakup between external sales and captive consumption?
Hi, Rishabh. First point, what is the utilization right now? Currently, the factory is running at around 45% utilization. We have reduced the utilization for last 10 days because of this ALMM2 applicability. We were just trying to figure out on how the market is responding to that circular. Coming to the consumption pattern, we are expecting almost 40 to 50% of the production will be captively consumed in our own EPC project. Second consumption pattern will be the solar kits which we have launched. Because of that kit, we are expecting higher volumes through our existing residential business. That will be a second bigger consumer in-house consumption for us. And the third is like what orders which we are getting from the other EPC players. So effectively, we are targeting 50 to 60% in-house consumption of the production, at least.
Right. So you have described the shift to large EPC as deliberate, driven by the desire to avoid extended receivable cycles in the government-distributed residential programs. But large EPS projects also carry concentration risk, with 150 megawatt project in Maharashtra representing a significant portion of the revenue. How are you thinking about the client and project concentration?
So, yes, surely that risk is always there about the project concentration, but what was the learning from our last year is, like, we had done a lot of projects for NTPC, and while handling multiple sites, so we have executed more than 200-250 sites, the significant challenge comes from non-concentrated sites even, because every site has their own decision maker, own head, and which somehow affects the timeline of the execution of the project. At least if the site is concentrated, we will be very sure that these are the 6 people or 7 people team which we have to convince and get the project through. So that is why we have shifted our focus to bigger ground-mounted projects.
Right. So the presentation mentions a forward pipeline of 300 megawatts of EPC projects under active discussion. What is the typical conversion rate from discussion to confirmed order, and over what time frame?
See, conversion rate is very difficult to say, because see what happens if, let's say, one order is of 100 megawatts. If it gets through, the conversion will become 30%. If it doesn't get through, it becomes zero. But these all pipeline are in advanced stage of discussion, and we are hopeful that within next 2-3 months, at least we'll have 60% of conversion through this pipeline.
Right. The residential rooftop segment revenue has moved around significantly. If we strip out the reclassification into distribution vertical, what is the underlying growth in the residential installations in FY26?
So we have added up another 12 to 14 crores of business last year through the kit sales. So because what is happening in our core residential projects, we are doing end-to-end installations, and there were a lot of operational challenges which we were facing to scale up the business. And in our kit business, we have de-scoped those particular 2-3 operational challenges, and we have realigned our strategies wherein we are using our SARSI partners for more of those scopes into their area. So end-to-end we have done 80 crores, but in kit sales we have added another 14 crores through kit sales last year.
Right.
So it will also, also help reduce our dependency on the fixed cost, basically.
Right. Okay, so my last question is, can you give us revenue and EBITDA guidance for FY27, or at the minimum directional commentary on whether you expect margins to expand or contract from FY26 levels?
Rohit?
So we want in terms of guidance, we expect margins to be minimally protected at these levels. We don't foresee any sort of further fall as we are moving towards lower fixed cost model, right? On top of it, in terms of revenue guidance, we kind of see the revenue continue to grow more at whatever rate it has grown in the past couple of years. So that's the bare minimum we expect with the manufacturing facility going live, with our current order book in hand. We expect the growth rate to further accelerate in terms of top line.
Right. So that is all from my side. Thank you so much for answering my questions.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Yashvi Gandhi from Molecule Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am.
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Yeah, sure. Good afternoon. Thanks for the opportunity. So I had a few questions all on the bookkeeping side. My first question being that the EBITDA margins came in at approximately 9.5%, and gross margins have declined from 34.5% to around 30%. Is this the new normal for the business, given the EPC mix, or do we see a pathway back towards the higher margins as the manufacturing integration deepens?
So this should be in the range of say 10% to 12% to be transferred. Right?
Okay, and the interest cost has significantly gone up. What is the current debt on the books and what cost and what does the repayment schedule look like?
The majority of this interest cost is pertaining to the working capital, which is for the manufacturing itself has kind of taken about 100 crores plus of working capital investment, which is repayable on demand. Obviously, this is more of a overdraft limits. Other than that, the term loan is about 50 odd crores, which is repayable over the next 6 years.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Shruti Malpani from Arth AIF. Please go ahead.
Hello, am I audible?
Yes, ma'am, you are audible. Yes, ma'am.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
So my first question is, so you said that your target mix is 50 to 60% for captive consumption, but what was the actual number for FY26?
So our module line got commissioned in March. We started production on March 14th or 15th, practically.
Oh, okay.
So it was planned to schedule on January, but the real production started from mid-March. So whatever we have produced was utilized in the distribution sales.
Okay. And also, like, you have published a few orders, like, sometime back wherein you were going to supply modules for outside sales. So
yes.
What is the order book for that?
It's about 35, 40 crores. Will to be supplied out of those while we are speaking today.
Okay, and when, what's the delivery timeline for that?
So, over next, it's generally open delivery means it gets delivered month on month basis. So, I think over the next couple of months, those will be supplied. But it's a regular process, it is not going to be one time. So, we keep getting the orders, it keeps getting delivered. So, it will get refilled on a regular basis.
Okay, so, okay, understood. And with the current order book in hand, that is 300 CR, do you have an execution timeline? So these are orders in hand and not at L1 or anything else, right?
No, these are orders in hand. So out of this, majority of it is pertaining to the current year executions.
Would it be like in H1 or later in H2? How much of it?
It'll be a mix of it. To be honest, difficult to bifurcate between H1 and H2, but majority of it will be executed within this year.
Okay.
Almost 100% of it to be executed within this year.
Sorry, I missed your last statement.
Almost 100% of this will be executed within this year.
Okay. Okay, understood. Also, sir, what is the monthly run rate from your residential segment?
So, currently for the last 3-4 months, we are seeing a monthly run rate of anywhere about 12 crores, about 10 to 12 crores, and this is excluding the solar kit. So I think by the end of the year, we expect, including solar kit, we should be anywhere about 16 to 18 kind of number.
Okay. By end of calendar year, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And also, sir, how can you understand the margins for your manufacturing business? So in a prox range, you could say, what is the cost for one panel versus the realization you get on selling it to outside players and not for captive consumption?
So it's a bit tricky situation at this point in time, but given we generally operate at a cost-plus model, so we target our gross margins or rather the overall margins to be above 15%.
Okay. Got it. And now since you would be procuring domestically, wouldn't that reduce those margins?
So, as I said, the overall industry works on a cost-plus model.
Mm-hmm.
So, it is generally the market-driven stuff. And the things will shape up over next 3 to 6 months, given the new interventions and all that stuff, right? So, the industry is yet to see that, but what we foresee that the bare minimum margins which will be stacked up is anywhere about 50-odd%.
One last question I had. So, what is your take upon the installed versus actually commissioned capacity for solar cells? Like, is there enough with the ALCM coming up and government wanting to push the DCR? So, like, do you think it's enough or can we see even higher prices for the domestic cells?
So, again, as I said, from a cell standpoint, Shruti, you're right. But at the same point in time, as I said, the industry doesn't work on absorbing the reverse model. It works on a cost-plus model. So whatever increase in the price of cells generally gets passed on to the customer. Though the overall industry will get to see how that thing happens, but just like yesterday, there is another circular being posted by MNRE wherein they have specifically asked all the cell manufacturers, including module, that whatever price you are selling during the month, you are going to sell during the month, you need to define it beforehand by 10th of the month, every month. It is every month process. So government, along with it, is also trying to cover up the empty profiteering stuff that is expected by the cell manufacturers, right? As far as the overall the cell manufacturing capacity is concerned, Ankit, you want to take that, but in general, maybe you can correct if I'm wrong. So it's about 30 odd gigawatt of capacity, out of which I think 50-60% is monopark. So over next 6-8 months, there will be enough capacity, expected capacity to be installed for cell in India.
Okay. So you think that capacity would be met domestically?
Mm-hmm. So most of the manufacturers, we are meeting diesel manufacturers. We haven't seen anybody kind of showing a negative thing or showing a challenge of unavailability at this point in time. Because there are two segments to it again. One is the integrated manufacturers who has their own cell plants as well as the module plants. So that's a different category. But at the same point, there are standalone manufacturers as well in India who are already having a decent level of capacity. So we don't foresee that it will be a challenge. Maybe a temporary noise is there, but over next 6 months or so, it will stabilize.
Okay. Understood.
So
thank you. That's it
from
my end.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Nishida Shanglesha from Sapphire Capital. Please go ahead.
Yes. Thank you for taking my question. I wanted to understand about the capex. From what I understand, we've done with most of the capex. So, do we foresee any capex in FY27, and what can be the amount if you can give?
We're not foreseeing any major capex during this year. It's majority. FY27 will be majority be anchored around the execution and the. And the ramp up
is important for this. Okay, understood. And my next question would be, you mentioned that our margins can be in the range of 10-12%. Currently, they are in the range of around 8-9%. So, can we see the exit EBITDA margins in FY27 at around 10-12%?
Yeah.
Okay. And another thing I wanted to understand, I missed that part, like about the interest cost, like how, when, what is the timeline for us to repay the debt that we've taken, and like, do we see the interest cost going to the normal level of around 30-35 crores or in FY27?
No, so the current interest cost for FY26 was about 10.5 crores in absolute terms. Not 35 crores. So the overall loan loans is about is between two parts. One is the normal working capital loans, which is about 100 crore plus, and the second part is the term loan for the CapEx. For the new factory, which is about 50-odd crores. So, all the CAPEX for the term loan, it's repayable over the next 6 years. And the working capital is a working capital loan.
Okay. Understood.
But the only reason this has shoot up is not in absolute terms. So, in absolute terms, it will remain in the same range. Rather, it'll marginally increase. But given the it is pertaining to the forward investment, right? So majority of it is as we grow up, as we ramp up in the operations takes up, in terms of percentage term, it will go down. It will eventually increase the overall PAT percentage.
Right. Okay. And on the working capital cycle, now that we've started taking, like, shifted our product mix to larger ground-mounted EPC contracts, so how does our receivables look like going forward?
In a larger ground mount, generally, unlike the 120-150 days kind of cycle in government projects, in the larger ground, in these sort of projects, we generally kind of keep getting the money as during the execution itself. So once we do the delivery for monuments, in next 15-30 days, we receive the amount for modules as we kind of deliver the other BOS. Balance of system material, we get the money next again 50-30. So it gets kind of overall cycle gets reduced significantly. Like for a project of 150-odd crores, the overall working capital will be less than 30-35 crores requirement.
Okay.
That's how it significantly reduced.
Okay. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from line of Harsh Sethia, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon and thanks for the opportunity. Am I audible?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir.
You have recently entered the solar kit business for the residential market. Can you help us understand the strategic rationale here, particularly at a time when you are scaling a large EPC business and ramping up manufacturing? How does the solar kit fit into your existing value chain? Does it consume your own manufactured modules? And is this primarily a distribution play, or do you see it evolving into something more integrated over time?
Sir, it is a kind of very strategic decision wherein when we have invested in our own module manufacturing line, now we have our own branded panels, all certifications and by the name of Solarium. So in our previous residential vertical, what we were doing is we were taking modules from X brand or Y brand and we were supplying it to our consumers, wherein we have built up the capability of end-to-end installations in a distributed manner through direct sales and our Solar Sathi program. More than 400-500 partners are working with us. Now, what we have changed into that program is everything will be branded on the name of Solarium. So, for example, PVC pipes, previously it was X local X brand, now it is by the name of Solarium. AC DB, DC DBs, all the components, there are more than 20, 25 components in a home installation. Major of the components are in the brand name of Solarium, along with the modules, which are the major component for a consumer. So now we have changed our pitch after commissioning of our module line, and we have diverted the whole pitch to in terms of we as a Solarium are producing and manufacturing, and we are only installing and taking care of the system. Once that narration we have checked, what was happening in our residential vertical is that we were, because we were doing end-to-end installations, all the government licensing part, DISCOM, and getting the net metering done was also in our scope. So in our kit business, wherein we have already set up our distributional capabilities, we know the consumer, we know the local EPC player. There are more than 20,000 empaneled EPC players who are working into this sector. So in our vertical residential, directly we were catering end-to-end clients, but with the launch of kits, we will be able to cater that 20,000 EPC empaneled vendors under PM Surya Ghar Yojana, wherein we will be their single point of supply so that they don't have to go to 10 or 15 different locations to collect the material and get the system installed at homes. And because we have an understanding on how to customize the residential kit, because we have been doing it from last 6-7 years for our own consumers, so we have launched the whole kit. It has each and everything customized as per the customer's requirement. So it will ease out drastically local EPC players' problem statement of procurement and customization. So within the same capability, and what Himanshu sir said is, it is a very low operating cost model for us. That is why we have launched Solar Kits, sir. So with Solar Kits, we are targeting a broader reach through Pan India. We will be launching our kits into multiple other states very soon.
Okay, understood, sir. My next question is, like, you have spoken about the deliberate shift towards the ground-mounted EPC projects. Can you help us understand this choice more concretely? Specifically, how do the economics of a ground-mount project compare to a residential rooftop installation in terms of margins, execution timelines, and cash conversion? And what is the revenue visibility you currently have in this segment between your confirmed order book and pipeline under discussion? And given India's 500 gigawatt target and the scale of utility solar still to be built, how large do you see this opportunity becoming for Solarium over next 3 to 5 years?
Himanshu, sir, would you like to take this question because it includes numbers?
So I think largely on the ground stuff, why this decision, I think we try to cover in the details of the presentation. But one, it kind of helps us as an organization reduce the fixed cost, unlike the distributed play wherein you have to have a lot of people on various sites. That's one. At the same point in time, overall cash conversion cycle also reduces significantly, as I answered just before this, right? So that is the larger reason we shifted towards this. In terms of the visibility, we already have about the 185 crores as an order in hand. Ankit covered in the presentation. There are active discussions for about 300 megawatt plus projects. We expect some sort of conversion over next 3 to 6 months. In terms of the macroeconomics, I think this segment is going to continue, and the integration with BESS will only enlarge this segment, and we, over next 1 week, kind of stabilize our operations in the ground mount standalone projects. We also intend to enter into the, as a EPC player only, into the BESS integrations. Though we have done some projects at a small scale, but haven't done those kind of larger projects. So that is how we kind of foresee this segment and being important for us in a medium to longer term journey.
Okay, thank you, sir, for answering the questions.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next follow-up question is from the line of Shruti Malpani from ARC AIF. Please go ahead.
Sir, there's a sudden increase in the other current liabilities of the company from 4 crore to 36 crore. So what is the increase attributable to? Hello.
Hello. Himanshu, sir.
Yeah, am I audible?
Rohit, are you there?
Rohit, sir, may I request you unmute your line, please?
Rohit.
Sir, one moment.
Hello.
Yes, sir, go ahead.
I'm audible. Actually, I was not able to mute. So there were current liabilities. There are some creditors for the fixed assets. So they are not included in trade payables. So to pay for the liabilities for the manufacturing plant which we have set up. So we are having a current liabilities of approximately 19 crore on that particular account. And then several, you can set it up payable to employees like a normal year-end procedure, 2 crore. Then my...
What was the 19 crore for?
19 crore for the creditor for the fixed assets. The capex what we have done, they are not trade payable. So we have included in the current liabilities.
Mm-hmm.
So 19 crores of payable was there as on 31st of March against the capex what we have done.
Okay.
And then we had an advance from customers, 5.5 crore.
Okay.
That's why.
Okay. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Ankit Garg for closing comments.
Thank you all for your time and questions today. We look forward to speaking with you again.
Thank you very much. On behalf of TIL Advisors, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line. Thank you.